live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Friday, December 1st, 2017. Can you believe it's already December? Yes, the final month of the year. 2017 has just whizzed on by. My goodness, the holiday season is upon us. Christmas just 24 days away. My favorite time of the year is December. I love Christmas. I'm a big Christmas nut. Hopefully you guys do not wait like I do each and every year, last minute to go Christmas shopping. All right, get out there, get those deals. I'm pretty sure many of you are probably already out there for Black Friday and not to mention earlier this week for Cyber Monday. But happy holidays, folks. We plan on ushering you into the December month of 2017 with a bang here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We will recap last night's absolute stomping at the hands of the Michigan State men's basketball team, inflicting pain on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish from wire to wire. Tom Izzo. You know, it's not often you see Tom Izzo happy or in a good mood, win or lose, after a game. But I tell you what, Tom, and you could see it, he was, you know, he wasn't smiling or cracking smiles, but you could tell that Tom Izzo was very pleased with the performance of his team last night against a very good team, a top five team in Notre Dame. I was at the game. We covered it for you. Actually, I posted a 2-minute drill report from the Breslin Center last night via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll have a complete recap of how Michigan State has been able to now top 10 teams in the nation. Of course, they won the PK80 Invitational, the victory bracket, over the weekend, over the Thanksgiving holiday, topping number 9, North Carolina. Now they beat number 5, Notre Dame. Pretty impressive stuff. So we'll have plenty of Michigan State college basketball talk for you. The Detroit Lions get ready now to shake off the loss to the Minnesota Vikings on Turkey Day as they will hit the road to take on the Baltimore Ravens. We'll preview that matchup. We'll also have Reflection Friday for you as we'll talk some college football and give our final thoughts and predictions on championship weekend. Should be a fun-filled weekend, folks. Of course, Selection Sunday is upon us as well, as we will know where Michigan State will be heading for its bowl game. And we also have a feature that we'll be rolling in for you from our very own Kevin Lavery, as he brings us a story centered on how Michigan State University is trying to keep those who attend big events, such as athletic events here on the campus of MSU, how Michigan State is trying to keep those crowds safe, doing it with a few specially trained dogs. Yeah, you don't want to miss this feature. Very cool stuff from Kevin Lavery. We'll be playing that around the back end of the show. And we'll also preview tonight's Michigan State Men's Soccer NCAA Tournament Elite Eight game, as Michigan State will play Indiana. We'll be talking with beat reporter for the Michigan State Men's Soccer team, John LeBlanc, later on this hour. So a fun-filled show. If you want to be a part of it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. You can comment below the video or tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Right, and we start with Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team as Izzo's squad handled business last night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, topping number 5 Notre Dame 83-61. Your final, giving the Spartans their second win against a top 10 team so far this season, doing so in back-to-back games. Cassius Winston was fantastic last night. He scored 17 points, and get this, 5-for-6 from deep. Dished out 7 assists to go along with that and collected 5 rebounds. I don't know how you can play a better game than Cassius Winston played last night. Maybe defensively it could have been a bit better, but we've been talking about that with Cassius dating back to last year. But offensively, he's been fantastic, and he was fantastic last night. And how about Josh Langford as well? Josh Langford also chipped in 17 points. You had Miles Bridges with 14 points and Nick Ward with 12. Jaren Jackson Jr. got into foul trouble. Yet again, he only played 14 minutes, yet he still had 3 boards and 3 blocks. If Jaren can just stay on the basketball court, he is something special, folks. Now, Michigan State will start Big Ten play on Sunday as they will host the 6-2 Nebraska Cornhuskers. You can watch that game on Fox Sports 1, and tip-off is scheduled for 4:30 p.m. More on Tom Izzo's troops in just a moment. The Michigan State women's basketball team was also in action last night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, but they fell to the Miami Hurricanes on the road, 67-57. Guard Taryn McCutcheon, East Lansing's own, led the Spartans in scoring with 14 points, shooting 5-for-8 from the field. She also was 4-for-4 from 3. Shea Colley only scored 8 points while shooting 2-for-11, dished out 6 assists, collected 4 rebounds, 3 steals, and blocked 2 shots. Susie Merchant's squad will be back in EL this Sunday as they will host the 4-4 Western Michigan Broncos. That tip time is scheduled for 12:30 p.m. So is that, just making sure, guys, behind the glass, is that another back-to-back Michigan State men's and women's basketball game? I just want to double check and make sure that that's correct. Michigan State women and the men play on the same day this Sunday.
I'll look that up, but there were multiple occasions that were set for this year. Yep.
4 times this year. I want to make sure that's 1 of the 4. So just double checking that. All right. MSU men's soccer looks to advance to the Final Four tonight. How about that? As they take on the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers in the Elite 8 of the NCAA tournament tonight at 7 p.m. The Spartans are coming off a 2-1 Sweet 16, 2-1 Sweet 16 win, I should say, against Western Michigan, while the Hoosiers are coming off a 2-1 win over New Hampshire. Now, this is the second matchup between Michigan State and IU this year, with the first matchup ending in a 1-1 tie on October 29th. Some key players to look out for include forwards Ryan Sierakowski and DeJuan Jones, also an East Lansing product for Michigan State, and forward Mason Toye and defenseman Andrew Gutman for Indiana. We'll talk more MSU men's soccer with John LeBlanc in just a moment. The MSU women's volleyball team is also playing in the NCAA tournament tonight as they take on Valley Conference champions, Missouri State, in the first round of tournament play with first serve scheduled for 5 p.m. You can catch that on Fox Sports Go. So a battle of MSUs, Michigan State University and Missouri State University. The Bears are currently ranked number 25 in the nation and are sitting on a 28-5 record, the Spartans are ranked at number 12 in the nation and are sitting at 21-8. Now, the winner of tonight's matchup will go on to play the winner of the Creighton Coastal Carolina game tomorrow at 7 p.m. That game can also be seen on Fox Sports Go. Another Spartan team will face off against Notre Dame this week, that being Michigan State Hockey, taking on number 4 Notre Dame. MSU Hockey will host the Fighting Irish tonight and tomorrow in a 2-game set. Dan Cole's squad is coming off a weekend in which they went 1-1 against the Penn State Nittany Lions, losing last Friday 7-2, but winning in a shootout on Saturday 3-2. Puck drop for both games are scheduled for 7.05 p.m. and can be seen on BTN+. The Detroit Red Wings extended their losing streak to 6 games. What is wrong with the wing wheel right now? My goodness. They are not playing great hockey, and they fall to the Canadiens last night 6-2 at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings got off to a hot start, leading the Habs 2-1 at the end of the first period. However, Montreal would score 3 goals in the second period and 2 in the third period to put the babies to bed. Detroit will look to get revenge on Montreal tomorrow night on the Canadiens' home ice. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. You can catch the Detroit Pistons as they look to extend their 3-game win streak tonight against the Washington Wizards out in D.C. The Pistons are off to a surprising start so far this season, sitting 2nd in the NBA's Eastern Conference, a 14-6 record. Impressive wins over teams like Boston, OKC, and even the Golden State Warriors. And the Detroit Lions will hit the road, looking to bounce back this weekend as they travel to Baltimore to take on the 6-5 Ravens this Sunday at 1 p.m. on Fox. Of course, you look at the Lions, and they are fighting for a wild card spot, and so are the Ravens. The Ravens are currently on a 2-game win streak, coming off wins against the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football and blanking the Packers as well. Some players with injuries to look out for the Lions this Sunday include Amir Abdullah, who's dealing with a neck, TJ Lang, foot, Travis Swanson, a knee, and Jamal Agnew, also a knee problem. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/current sports. Our live stream is up and running. And tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports.
Like, we, you know, ain't happening, right? We got 2 Big Ten games that are always spoken for, the ACC Big Ten, and maybe we'll see them again in that. And then we always play in the crossroads. I don't need to play a 3rd Big Ten, you know, home and home. I like to maybe get back. We're going to play UCLA next year. And again, it's a great matchup and it's an easy ride. But I just don't want to play too many Big Ten games. I'd be fine meeting them every 5 years in the ACC Big Ten. But they're a great program. They're a great measuring stick for where your program is.
Mike Bray, Notre Dame, his team, they're going to be playing, I think, a long time come March and April, you know. I really do.
I feel like it, you know, you know, lets us know that we are a great team. But at the same time, you know, like I've been saying, and like we all say, we haven't did anything. We still have a lot of room for improvement. We still have a lot of room to grow in certain areas of the game, aspects of the game. It's a long season, and we just have to, you know, stay the course and keep focused.
We've grown a lot. We learned to limit our turnovers and do the little things to win, like defend, rebound, and get out on the break and run.
No, I can't remember a better stretch. Maybe, as I told my team after, I think it was in 2000, we played UConn here and we were up 50-some to 17 at halftime. That was a better stretch, I guess. But against a quality team that, you know, is very solid. Those seniors make that team very, very solid. And I just thought the way we played it, give us some credit.
All these things and more.
Happy holidays, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Happy Friday, December 1st. Yeah, the final month of the year is already here. Christmas right around the corner, just 24 days away. That's a little Stevie Wonder to start your Friday. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your Friday afternoon. Welcome to the show. And no other way to start today's current sports, right? The Michigan State men's basketball team, absolutely dominant. The epitome of dominance last night on national TV. Number 3 versus number 5, and Michigan State made it look easy. I really couldn't believe the start to that game. And what we saw last night, Spartan fans, is a peek into the window of just how good this Michigan State men's basketball team can be this year. This is why what we saw last night, heck, what we've seen the last two games, is why Michigan State has been picked by many to go very deep come March and possibly even give Tom Izzo his second national championship. I know we still got a lot of basketball left to play, but when you play the way that Michigan State has these last two games against really good competition, Notre Dame and North Carolina, really good. NC at number 9 heading into the PK80 victory bracket championship game, and Notre Dame at number 5, and Michigan State dominates that kind of way. Oh boy. College basketball world, watch out, because this team is scary. Barring injury, when Michigan State is playing like they did last night, they can beat anybody on the planet. Anybody on the planet, folks. And it starts in a few areas. It really does. For me, number 1 is defense. Defense wins championships. We've heard that old cliche, right? And that's something that, of course, head coach Tom Izzo firmly believes in. He actually stated that last night after the game during his post-game press conference. He is a stickler when it comes to defense, in particular when it comes to his guards playing defense. But it was a collective effort last night. I mean, Michigan State just, it was amazing watching them from the jump of that game until like a stretch of like 10 minutes. From like the 20-minute mark all the way to the 10-minute mark of the first half, they were locked in. Everybody, you know, knees bent, shifting from side to side. When a screen came, there was communication, guys switching off, contesting shots. I mean, it was absolutely remarkable evaluating the defensive effort from Michigan State last night. Notre Dame, they were suffocated from jump. And one of the big differences in that game that really stood out to me, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, last night I love listening to opposing, you know, other than the play-by-play and color analyst for Michigan State, I love listening to the, you know, the opposition broadcast And I love listening to their broadcasters kind of break down what's happening because it gives you kind of a fresh perspective from what they are seeing. And, you know, I tuned into the Notre Dame radio broadcast last night, and what really echoed throughout the majority of at least the first half, because I listened to a lot of the first half, and what they were really harping on and getting frustrated with was the size of Michigan State and how it was virtually impossible for Notre Dame to match up in any way when it comes to the size of the Spartans. And that is something that it's quite the contrast from last year, because Michigan State had so many injuries that numerous times throughout the season we saw Miles Bridges playing power forward and even center. And now this is a healthy Spartan team that is so deep, has so much size. I mean, we're talking about Ben Carter. We're talking about Gavin Schilling. We're talking about the length of Jaren Jackson. We're talking about the big body of incoming freshman Xavier Tillman. You add that with Nick Ward. I mean, this team has a lot of size. And Notre Dame just couldn't figure it out last night. Just couldn't figure it out. They were physically manhandled in every way possible last night. In every way possible. And, you know, you look at Bonzi Colson. He was the player that the Spartans really honed in on because he's the star of the Fighting Irish. Bonzi couldn't do anything. He really couldn't. And we saw outstanding play from players, you know, when he was in, Jaren Jackson, Nick Ward, a big body that gave Bonzi some problems. I mean, Bonzi finished, what, 6 of 19 from the floor. He was 1 of 4 from three-point land. He only shot 4 free throws, so it's not like he was going to the free throw line. 17 points for him to lead the team. But it was Bonzi, he looked frustrated too. I mean, he just couldn't do anything. Really could not do anything. Anytime he tried to post up Ward or tried to put it on the floor and go in the paint, there were numerous white jerseys coming at Bonzi Colson. So when Michigan State is playing defense like that, nobody can beat them. Nobody in the nation can beat them. And yes, that means Duke. And I keep having flashbacks to that Duke game, especially when you look at these past two games for Michigan State. You know, if Michigan State played the way they did last night against the Duke Blue Devils, Michigan State would have won that game. Simple as that. Because when you evaluate and break down that Duke loss, Michigan State gave up 25 offensive rebounds. You're not going to beat anybody, let alone the Duke Blue Devils, if you give up 25 offensive boards. An obvious reason why Michigan State lost that game. But what's so remarkable is that they gave up 25 offensive boards and they were still in the game and had an opportunity to win with just minutes left. And, oh, yeah, that dude by the name of Grayson Allen also went off. And it wasn't great defense on Grayson, but let's be real. Grayson hit some shots where Matt McQuay was right in his grill. He hit some shots where Josh Langford was right there. I mean, it was just one of those days. You know, Grayson was sitting in the boat looking at the ocean and just throwing pennies into the ocean. That's the way the basketball hoop looked like for Grayson Allen that night. So the defense was spectacular, but also Michigan State's identity is running the ball down your throat. That's what they do. When they get out in transition, oh boy, and if you don't get back, it's going to be a long night for you. And that is something that Notre Dame did absolutely poorly last night. Transition bucket after transition bucket. It's amazing because Michigan State is running, and I really paid attention to this last night. Michigan State is running numerous offensive sets when they're on the break. And if you don't get back right after you miss or even make a shot, they will burn you in multiple ways, more so than what they did last year, as they lived off that last year. I mean, but heck, Tom Izzo has, I mean, that's the identity of Michigan State basketball. They're going to run no matter what. But it helps when you have a guard like Cassius Winston, who has now added, as I noted earlier this week, he has added that transition three-pointer in his offensive repertoire now. They can beat you in multiple ways on the break now. I mean, we saw Josh Langford last night getting to the hole for layups. I mean, it's been well documented how athletic Miles Bridges is now. So you can get on the break now, and Cassius Winston can just throw it up to Miles Bridges in position, and he's going to have a good shot at throwing down a slam. But now, if Cassius is pushing it and leading the break, if he doesn't like what he sees, and if his defender is lagging back, three in your eye hole. That is what Cassius Winston can do now. And it was on full display last night. Winston netting 5 3-pointers to go along with his 17 points and 7 assists. He was magnificent offensively. And then Josh Langford, who is, in my opinion, he's the final key to this puzzle. And the question I had coming into this game, can he piggyback off of the performance that he had, I believe still his best performance in a green and white jersey against UNC in the PK80 championship game against North Carolina. He was fantastic. Can he do that consistently? And Josh picked up where he left off against Notre Dame last night. That mid-range game is so beautiful to watch, and it's something I can relate to because when I played, I was a mid-range jump shot, guy. I'm still that guy whenever I go, which is very rare nowadays because I'm working so much. But when I do decide to go down to IM West and, show up Isaac Constance from time to time, The mid-range game is what I do, Isaac.
It is.
But it's so fun watching Josh because I can relate to that, man. I mean, he'll hit you with a pump fake, step in, money. Or if a guy is on him, he'll post up now, turn around, jump shot from 15 feet, money. You can give it to him coming off the screen, in transition, money. I mean, it's amazing what Josh can do in so many ways within the three-point arc and free throw line extended. We saw that on full effect as well last night. Four players scored in double figures. Four different players had four or more assists. So this team is sharing and caring. The Spartans knocked down shots left and right a ridiculous 71% to start that game. And they were grabbing nearly every rebound. At one point in that game, it was a 13-1 rebound margin. 13-1, folks. And scoring in the paint. To start the game, they had 10 points in the paint. Notre Dame just dazed and confused. And then all of a sudden, you look at the score, and they had a 31-11 lead. This is what they can do. This is what they can do. And probably my favorite sequence from last night that kind of puts in perspective just how good of a night it was for Michigan State. Jaren Jackson Jr., he blocks a shot against Bonzi Colson. And then Jackson grabs the ball after blocking the shot. I think that's a lost start now because so many times in today's basketball, we see guys block the shot and either goes out of bounds or the offense gets it right back. I think, Bill Russell was really the guy who coined that, keeping the ball in bounds and grabbing a rebound after you block it. And, it was a rare play from Jaren where you block it, you get it after blocking it, and then he throws it to Cassius. Cassius took one dribble. That's all it took. One dribble and then found Bridges down the court for an alley-oop. It was a perfect pass. And what's so funny is because right under Miles Bridges was Nick Ward. And Nick Ward thought it was going to him. He didn't know. I guess Bridges was right in back of him. Nick tries to go for the oop at the same time Bridges does. And Bridges says, "Nah, Nick, that's mine, dude." Grabs it in the air. Slams it down, and Nick just takes a tumble, and they both start laughing as they get back on defense. And I asked Miles after the game. I was in the locker room, and I asked Miles after the game, you guys must have had some fun with that one in the huddle when the timeout was called. And he was like, yeah, we joked about that one. But that play showed everything. Everything on display. I love that sequence because you see the defense of Michigan State there with the block from Jaren Jackson. You see the fantastic passing. And the sharing is caring mantra from Michigan State men's basketball as Cassius just took one dribble. That's all it took, one dribble, and then throws it up to Miles Bridges. And that dunk, oh, my goodness. I don't know if I've heard the Breslin that loud ever. I must say, and I've covered a lot of Michigan State men's basketball games, but it was a packed house. It was a whiteout at Breslin. When that dunk went down, it was deafening. Oh, my goodness. So what a game for Michigan State. And now they will enter Big Ten play a little early now. Reason being, well, the Big Ten tournament has been moved up a week to play at probably the most famous basketball arena in the nation, Madison Square Garden out in NYC, New York. So with the Big Ten tournament moved up a week, that means that conference action will start early. So for Michigan State, it will begin this Sunday with a 4:30 p.m. tip time against Nebraska at the Breslin Center. You can check that game out on Fox Sports 1. But what do you think of your Spartans? It is so impressive what this team has been able to do in back-to-back games against very good competition. And again, I'll go back to that statement. This right now is a peek into the window of a possible national championship for Michigan State. No, I don't think I'm crazy in saying that, because you look at the competition. North Carolina and Notre Dame. And Graham Couch put it really, really well in his article today in the Lansing State Journal. Those are two teams that you can easily see in the Final Four this year, come March. And Michigan State made it look like just an easy walk in the park, just strolling in through the garden of flowers. That's how easy it looked last night for Michigan State. They're so deep. They're so physical. They've got talent in numerous ways. Boy, oh boy, you got to be happy with that performance. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Engineer Isaac Constance, this is a bit bittersweet, dude, because I know you must be looking at the calendar and saying, wow, I have exactly now 2 weeks. You have 14 more days here on WKAR's Current Sports before Ian Hawley will take over in your position. We'll introduce Ian as the days roll along here, but 14 days left. How you feeling, brother, and what are your thoughts on Michigan State?
Feeling pretty sentimental, but it's hard to get too wrapped up in anything now with how MSU sports are going. I mean, that is where all the attention is. And gosh, the basketball team, it is so frightening because so much goes wrong for these teams. They're one of the top 50 teams in the nation when it comes to turnovers per game. Then you look at Miles Bridges between the injuries, struggling with some zones. He really hadn't gotten it going so far. And yet they're blowing out Notre Dame like this. You've got to be kidding me. And Matt McQuaid, you know, coming off the bench, contributing 4 assists, shooting well. Then you've got Cassius Winston, who now is a money 3-point shooter. You mentioned the transition pull-up three. Is there anybody better at it? I mean, it reminds me of Travis Trice in his senior year, the way that Winston shoots the three from deep. And then, again, Josh Langford, getting it going. If Jaren Jackson can stay out of foul trouble, watch out, country. I mean, this team has so much potential, and they're already so good. There are wrinkles to iron out, but this team, where they stand right now, is frightening as it is.
Yeah, no, and it's probably like one wrinkle here and there on your shirt, right?
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Like the whole shirt is like, oh my goodness. It's just
no, but
here
you
and
hear
there.
What I'm saying, yeah, with the potential,
sure.
With all the talent.
Because
yeah.
If Jaren can stay on the basketball court, oh my goodness. And speaking of Jaren Jackson, a great segue into this bite, Isaac. Here's Jaren Jackson talking about the frustration of getting into early foul trouble as he's done now the last few games.
You don't. So I got to work on that just by staying out of foul trouble, because you don't keep a rhythm. But, you know, great players don't need a rhythm. So I also have to figure out how to, you know, deal with that and be able to stay warm on the bench. I don't know which probably the charge is one I wanted to take back. I didn't want to do that because I was just out of control. I just went head first into him. That was a good call. That was probably the one I wanted to redo if I had to pick one. It was tough. I don't know. I mean, the refs made the call. I guess they saw something. And they're just doing their job. It's hard. I ain't mad at them, really. I mean, I'm mad in the moment, but obviously their job is harder than it looks. They're getting badgered all game, so I appreciate them for trying their best.
Is there anything the coaches are doing in practice to kind of help you to combat these?
Oh, they just yell at me whatever I do. It's a little foul, foul. They can't. They'll stop it. They'll be like, Jeremy fouled. I'll be like, really? But yeah, we watched. Put your hand here. Usually it's me using my arms instead of my lower body, but, you know. They just yell.
Do you notice any differences in the way the game has been officiated in college versus what you dealt with in high school? Or is it pretty similar?
There's more. Well, probably because the refs are better. They see more things, so there's more foul calls. but because in high school you can just get away with whatever you want. And because I'm taller, you can't like jump over dudes and get the tip rebounds, so can't do that either. But officiating wise, it's not like that's not that much. It's not that different. It's kind of it's probably more fouls in college.
Jaren Jackson Jr., freshman forward for Michigan State, commenting on his foul trouble that he has been battling with the last few games. And look, this is nothing new. This is one of the growing pains you're going to have to deal with when you deal with a freshman of the talent of a Jaren Jackson, who is very aggressive, who likes to come out and try to make an immediate impact on the game. If you remember, I mean, heck, just turn the clock back to last year. Who used to get into early foul trouble all the time? Mr. Nick Ward. He eventually figured it out, adjusted to the college game, and he started to flourish as the year goes along. Jaren will be absolutely fine, and as he continues to stay on the basketball court for more minutes, this Michigan State men's basketball team is only going to get better. We've got a lot of comments coming in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll get to those in just a moment. Ray from Indiana, I see you on line one. I'm going to get to you as well. We'll also invite live here in Studio West, John LeBlanc, Michigan State men's soccer beat reporter for the State News. He'll break down tonight's NCAA Elite Eight matchup between the Spartans and Indiana Hoosiers. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We've got a lot of comments coming in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Ben Grimes says, what up, Al? Happy Friday, or should I say Friday? Yes, it is Friday. I can't believe it's Friday and December 1st. Pretty crazy stuff, Ben. Ben says, my weekend winner for this week would be the Michigan State men's basketball team after beating three very good basketball teams in less than a week. Yes, you should be very proud of your Spartans right now. Ben, also my fraternity brother, Justin Dunn, he's tuned in right now, and he says, popped them. We have multiple offensive weapons. Finally, defense, defense, defense. Yeah, Jay Dunn, they look really, really good right now, and a staple of this team is defense right now. If Michigan State plays defense like that night in and night out, again, they can beat anybody. I don't care who is on the schedule. Hey, call up the Golden State Warriors. Bring on the Warriors, man. It does not matter, Isaac, who they play right now. If they're playing defense like that, dude, oh, man. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Justin's fiance, Shaughnessy, who's like a sister to me. It is her birthday, so happy birthday, Shaughnessy. I hope you guys have a great one. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Line one, my man Ray from Indiana. What's up, Ray?
Hey, I think your team has a great chance of ended up being a great team. But just don't go gaga. You remember you lost to Duke.
Ray, but I'm just saying, if you they just beat number 9, North Carolina. Then they followed that up in beating number 5, Notre Dame. Duke, as I said, the reason, if you look back at that Duke footage, the reason why they lost to Duke was they gave up 25 offensive boards. And with that being said, Ray, they were still in the game with a chance to win it with 2 minutes left. And not to mention Grayson Allen.
I think he can beat anybody.
They can beat if they play again.
Hey, I wanted to tell you a little inside joke I heard from Ann Arbor. You want to hear it?
Of course we want to hear it, Ray. Go ahead.
You know how Jim Harbaugh likes to win the offseason taking his players out to new countries, right?
Okay. Yeah, like Rome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's going to take his team over to Red China to see the Great Wall. You know why that?
Okay, why is that?
Well, because he can't play football, so he's going to see if they can teach him ping pong for his team. And then when they fall off the Great Wall, things Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty, all the king's men and all the king's horsemen couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Ray, how long did it take you to think of that one? How long did it take you to think of that joke?
Well, I was out jogging today. I thought of a new joke. Hey, I found some great stuff at Cracker
Barrel. I'm glad you are not a comedian. That's all I'm saying, but I see where you're going with it. That was pretty creative. Pretty creative, Ray.
He keeps going on. He wins the offseason. You know, when he plays Rutgers in Maryland, he's great, coach. What happens to Messiah when he plays Michigan State and Ohio State? He's 1-7 against top 10 teams.
Yeah.
You know, Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke got fired for three seasons like that.
I know. I know. You know what's so crazy? I heard that there was a rumor floating out there. I believe it was Brady Quinn. He said that Jim Harbaugh may be getting he heard from some sources that Jim Harbaugh may be getting a lifetime contract. And I'm sitting there saying, come on, man, a lifetime contract.
Nice.
Stop it.
A lifetime contract. Well, how does that consist? Harbaugh was saying in this thing on college football that the person that was in the athletic department told him that he pushed him on it. Tell him, what do you mean by a lifetime contract? He couldn't really tell him. Well, hell, how do you know how long you're going to live? You're going to give him one up till the day he dies on his respirator or what?
Yeah, I think that's just rumor. Just a rumor.
Oh,
I don't. They're not giving Jim Harbaugh a lifetime contract.
He can't beat anybody yet. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to get two more years, but in two more years, if this record stays like this, bye-bye, Jimmy. It's going to be all over for you.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
I was thinking about using that joke at the next cocktail party, Isaac, but I don't know if I'll get any laughs.
Well,
I don't know. That wasn't good.
Depends how many Michigan fans are there, you know. But credit to Ray for the response. Jogging, he had. And Ray goes for long jogs, I got to say.
He does go for long jogs. But he's no Dave Chappelle. Let's just put it that way.
No,
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Real briefly here, I want to invite right now to current sports our dear friend, production assistant, and also beat reporter for the Michigan State men's soccer team for the state news, Mr. John LeBlanc. He's going to help us now break down tonight's NCAA Elite Eight matchup between Damon Rensing Spartans as they will take on the Indiana Hoosiers. John, first off, happy Friday, man. How you doing?
Doing good. You know, Tiger Woods is at the top of the leaderboards right now.
You told
me. Feeling great.
Oh,
I'm feeling great.
You told me that during the first break. You walked in and said that I almost lost it. I watched the first four holes.
Mm-hmm.
He birdies three of the four first holes at the Hero World Golf Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first hole. The dude is hitting monster drives.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a 335-yard drive, follows that up with a 95-yard approach shot with what I would assume is his pitching wedge, hits that 7 feet in, birdies it, and is feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And we even saw that the Tiger Woods fist pump in round
when
one
I saw
yesterday.
That fist pump, I'm like, Tiger's back. But he's not back yet.
Not back,
until
but
he wins,
man.
I think until he wins a major, then he's back.
Exactly. Until he wins a major, I totally agree with you. But, man, nobody thought that he would have this kind of a start coming off of what 10 months now without even playing at all and just sitting at home and back problems. It's amazing. Exactly. Whoever his doctor is. Shout out to Tiger Woods' doctor. My goodness. All right. Well, John, big game tonight for Damon Rensing and his troops.
Mm-hmm.
They have made it to the Elite Eight for the first time, I believe, since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool stuff. Can you kind of break down this matchup? How do you like the chances of Michigan State pulling out this win over the Hoosiers?
I would say the chances of the Spartans winning is maybe about 35% to 40%, just because against the Hoosiers early on in the regular season finale, they kept it close throughout the whole game. They didn't have a great first half, but Rensing said, you know, and obviously, I was there to witness it. They had a really good second half. They were able to push that defense, the number one ranked defense in the nation.
Right.
They were able to get some attacks on them. No team against Indiana has really been able to do that. Indiana's only let in 5 goals this season.
Really?
And the whole season, all 22 or 23 games, only 5 goals, which is insane.
So their defense is it tops in the nation now?
Yeah, it's tops in the nation.
It is tops
by a far margin. It's like 0.215 per game goals allowed, and the next second best team is like 0.4 or something. It's insane.
So when you're playing the best defense in the nation in college soccer, I mean, how in the world do you go about attacking that to try and permeate that and really get some goals on the board?
Well, looking at that, you always try to look for flaws. And when I was talking to Ryan Sierakowski before practice on Tuesday, he said their left back, Andrew Gutman, one of their top goal scorers, actually likes to play aggressively and likes to push up the field.
Mm-hmm.
So what Sierakowski was telling me is that they're going to try and exploit that and be able to, you know, wedge themselves in there and attack the defense that way.
I know that, you know, we had Damon on, 3 weeks ago, and, you know, he's been waiting to get back to this point. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at this point now, I mean, you know, second Elite Eight appearance in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. you want to get over that hump and possibly make a Final Four.
Yeah.
If they don't get beat Indiana tonight and get past the Elite Eight,
mm-hmm.
Is this season already a success?
I would say so, just because of their offense didn't really pick up until like halfway through the season,
mm-hmm.
and now with the win against Western Michigan, you're seeing other players get in other than Sierkowski, other than DeJuan Jones. You're seeing like against Western, Jimmy Fiskus. Can't think of it right now. Hunter Barone, both of them with their second goals of the season. Other people are getting their feet on the ball, putting the ball back in the net, and they're really starting to spread the offense a little bit more. And it's especially with Giuseppe Baroni coming back last mm-hmm. week.
Right.
He's one of those people in the middle of the field you're able to dish off and be able to control the ball in the middle of the field, get into your fours and stuff like that, along with Ken Krilicki.
What's the atmosphere like at Indiana? I know Michigan State has been so good at DeMartin Stadium. I mean, mm-hmm. when they're playing at home, and you know, that crowd comes out, it's just another emotional level that they go to when they're out there playing. And, mm-hmm. and it's tough. This time of the year, you have to go on the road and play a team as talented as Indiana. I mean, how do you combat that?
You kind of just zone everything out and you just kind of stick to your guns, because if you get, obviously you get like pressure in or anything like fan atmosphere, you're obviously going to feel a little bit rattled and stuff like that. And Indiana has been a historically really good soccer team. I mean, they have many people in the MLS and stuff like that. I mean, they're just historically really good. So I expect the atmosphere to be great, and they're probably just going to stick to their guns and being focused and centered on themselves.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I used to be really big on predictions here on Current Sports. You know, we used to have a whole segment. Oh, let's give them our picks of the week. And then I'm like, everybody does that.
Scorching hot takes.
Yeah, hot takes. And, you know, everybody does it in sports talk radio. So I kind of got away from it. But, you mm-hmm. know, a game of this magnitude here locally, looking at, you know, what Damon Rensing has been able to do, I just want to kind of get your thoughts and predictions on what do you expect tonight. Does Michigan State move on, John?
I will say they do not, just because they're playing at Indiana.
Okay, you're an honest man. I love it.
Yeah,
okay.
If they're playing,
Indiana's a really good team.
Yeah, Indiana's a really good team. I mean, when you're the 10th in the NCAA in offense and number one in defense, I mean, Michigan State's in the top 10 also in defense, but they just don't have like the offensive firepower that Indiana has. If the game was here in East Lansing, I would get the slight edge to Michigan State just because of that atmosphere at DeMartin Stadium.
Gotcha.
But since it's in Indiana, I think they will go into a shootout, but I think Indiana edges out.
All right, great stuff. John LeBlanc, Michigan State men's soccer beat reporter for the MSU men's soccer team for the State News. John, thank you so much.
No problem, man.
Isaac, also want to put you on the spot, my man. I know the World Cup group pairings have come out. I saw that this morning. I was watching a lot of sports this morning, dude. Believe it or not, I was watching.
I know. I'm shocked you saw that.
What an event, I must say. They put on a show just to release the teams. I'm a bit salty. Mm-hmm. The US of A is not in it. I'm curious because they were kind of breaking down the groups. And, you know, I was looking at different groups, you know, as they came out and were highlighted. What do you think is the group of death? There's a group of death every single year. What would you say? Is it group F? I kept hearing group F stand out a lot. I think it has Mexico in it, I think. I'm not sure. I have to double check.
Mexico's in one of the toughest ones because they're going against South Korea for that number two spot, if
right.
I'm not mistaken. And it's really so fun whenever this is released. One thing that always throws it off is the host country gets
right.
an automatic one seed. So just like in the NCAA tournament,
yeah.
The number one seed has an easier path. They play a bunch of two, three, and four seeds. So Russia is in with Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay, which means that, yeah, they've got a decent chance of getting through, even though they're not that good of a team.
Yeah.
Group of death, though, there are two for me.
Is it F?
F is definitely one
okay.
of them. That's Germany,
Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea.
Correct, yeah.
Damn.
And like I said, I don't think Mexico gets through. And Mexico is a pretty solid team, but Sweden made it even without Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He retired from international football. I know that means nothing to most of our listeners, but very
yeah,
good
right.
player. And then Group E is Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia. A lot of physical teams in that group. I'll be interested to see how Brazil can handle that one.
Well, like I said, I love watching the World Cup, and that's why I tuned into that event today, and I was very impressed. They put on a show, I tell you that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the US of A, and they, let's be real with you. Even if they didn't make it, they wouldn't have gone far in the World Cup anyway.
No.
I mean, come on. Let's just keep it real.
And you heard about the NIT tournament that they were proposing.
Oh, my gosh. I hate that. It's like a tournament for losers.
It is.
Dude, either make it or don't make it and stop crying about it.
So
I hate
embarrassing.
That. Yeah, very embarrassing. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have brief thoughts on the Lions and Ravens. We'll have Reflection Friday, and we've got a piece from our very own Kevin Lavery talking about the safety of huge crowds
at athletic events and so much more here on the campus of Michigan State University. That and more. We'll be right back. In the animal world, the canine sense of smell is the stuff of legends. Certain dog breeds are prized for their ability to track missing persons and find illegal drugs. Others are trained to search for explosives. Those dogs are adept at leading their handlers to stationary objects. But a few specially trained dogs can do something different. They can find explosives that are being carried by a person in motion, and they can do it among huge crowds of people. Our very own Kevin Lavery saw this training in action yesterday at Michigan State University and files this report.
Tip-off for today's game with Notre Dame, 7 o'clock.
Long before the fans came to watch the Spartans duke it out with the Fighting Irish on the hardwood, police from both Michigan State University and the University of Notre Dame were keeping watch at the Breslin Center. Working in pairs, the teams put their eyes, ears, and noses to the task of maintaining public safety. MSU policeman Adam Atkinson was on duty with his partner, Cora. She's a little young for a cop, but she's already a trusted member of the force.
She's a 2.5-year-old yellow Labrador Retriever.
Cora holds a special place in the canine corps. She's a vape wake dog. That's not a breed, it's a brand. Developed at Auburn University, Vape Wake is a program in which dogs are trained to track the vapors that are emitted by explosive devices. Atkinson says that's a departure from the way bomb dogs were trained in the past.
When you look at how events are normally ran with explosive detecting dogs, the dogs would come in ahead of time and search before the crowd arrived. Now we have dogs that can not only search ahead of time, but they can also search during and after the games.
The human body produces heat. When we're sitting or standing, our thermal plume rises silently and invisibly above our heads. But when we're walking, the plume trails along behind us. Dogs are very good at detecting those molecules. A person carrying an explosive device emits a heat signature that's part body and part bomb. A well-trained dog can locate a would-be perpetrator, even in a crowd of thousands of people.
Please be aware that all patrons are subject to a visual search.
The Vape Wake program taps into a dog's genetics to develop animals that can rise to the task. Officer Atkinson says from the time they're born, puppies are tested to perform in all sorts of environments.
They have to be able to work in extreme heat, extreme cold, when there is a lot of people around, and just focus on what their job is. And I believe they select dogs that have that passion to want to work.
It's not all work. We're talking about dogs, after all, an animal that lives for playtime.
Where's your ball? Where's your ball? Huh?
This loquacious lab is named Skeet. He came up from South Bend to help out of the big game. His canine colleague, Toxie, is more subdued.
Toxie?
Yep, Toxie. I didn't name her, but it suits her quite well.
Officer Jarrett Gilpin is a police officer at the University of Notre Dame. Toxie has never discovered a real explosive in the real world, thank goodness. But Gilpin says in training, she sniffed out a lot of interesting finds.
Shoe polish. Fertilizer, packing solution, some kind of Teflon-coated packing solution they found. It's kind of amazing.
At 5:30, the gates have opened at the Breslin, and Toxie, Skeet, and Cora are down the hall, hard at work. Vapor detection dogs are not meant to take the place of traditional police animals. MSU officer Adam Atkinson notes that other dogs are trained for different missions. But he says in the post-9/11 era, Cora, the yellow lab, brings a skill set that meets a changing security environment.
These dogs search super fast, so they can search a large area. They're sniffing people as they're walking through, so it just gives us that extra security blanket, another way to help protect people.
So as thousands of people cheered MSU on to victory over Notre Dame on Thursday, the Breslin Center stayed safe, thanks in no small measure to a three-dog night.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
For WKAR, I'm Kevin Lavery.
Dance to the music. Celebrate, celebrate.
Thanks so much, Kev, for that report. And yeah, I think in today's times, you know, when you look at what has happened in our nation, especially, you know, looking at what happened out in Las Vegas, we are always concerned about the safety. Now, when we head out to a concert, when we head out to an athletic event, are we safe? So, Kev, thank you so much for taking some time to file that report and look at how Michigan State is trying to keep big crowds here on campus safe when it comes to numerous events such as athletic events. All right, let's hit you with Reflection Friday. All right, Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and hit you with a few of our favorite moments and maybe even highlight a few stories that we may not have gotten to. You know what? You know, we had a little bit of discussion about the Detroit Lions at the top of the week. Of course, Isaac, we talked about the loss to the Minnesota Vikings, and now the Lions will take on the Baltimore Ravens. This is a big game for the Lions, Isaac, and for me, the Lions, their playoff hopes are really riding on this game. You know, right now, you look at how things pan out. The Falcons, they trail the Falcons by one game and the number 5 seed Panthers by 2 in the wild card. They got to handle business against the Ravens. The Ravens team that is hot. I think the Lions win this weekend. What do you say?
I think they lose, actually. But, gosh, I mean, because I called them to win against the Vikings, and they let me down one too many times. So, no, I'm picking them to lose this weekend. But you're exactly right. This is the most competitive wild card race that I can remember in some time, because the NFC South, the Saints, started off so hot. They won 8 in a row. And guess what? They're only tied for the lead in that division because the Panthers are 8-3. They're sitting in a wild card spot. So, no, it's such an interesting year for football. Teams that you don't expect are passing up the usual contenders left and right.
Yeah, definitely. My Cowboys got a big win over the Washington Redskins last night on Thursday Night Football. And now, I hate to say this, but we got to root for the my Cowboys fans out there, we got to root for the Philadelphia Eagles. I know I hate to say that, but we do, because we need Seattle to lose. And, you know, we need also the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. That's a big game for us as well. Mm-hmm. Also, Jimbo Fisher leaving FSU for Texas A&M. That's breaking news for you all. And how about Tiger Woods? I'm going to my office right now and checking out those last few holes with the rest of the round for him. Wishing you well, Tiger. We'll see you Monday, folks. Be easy, people.